We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Welcome into CHGO White Sox postgame show, coming to you live from various places around Chicagoland. I'm your host, Sean Anderson. Alongside me in the CHGO studios is Herb Lawrence.
Hello.
You can follow him at Eknerwall23. He's our CHGO White Sox community leader. You can follow me at Sean_W_Anderson. You can follow the show at CHGO_White Sox. We're being produced today by Sarah, who might be playing TV volume. Hello, you're back.
I'm back.
I know you missed, you know, this show over the Cubs. I know you like White Sox baseball more than the Cubs and probably have been, you know,
You know me so well, Sean.
Bated breath. I know. It's your White Sox fan number one.
In my defense, though, I came in and I was like, oh, it's, you know, they're down by two runs. And then it was 5-6. And I was like, I don't see any reason for the Sox not to win this game. And then I went to set up the show and then I saw the score again.
You know, that's funny because you typically have that mindset when watching the White Sox. And with the Cubs, maybe I get it. But Herb, they lost 10-5. This game was close for a bit there. And then it got real sloppy in the ninth inning. I was going to write down Pedro Grifols' new updated record with one run. But this became an ugly game quick. 10-5 win for Minnesota. They win the season series. Seven games already out of 13. Congrats to the Minnesota Twins who won their ninth straight.
Eighth straight over the White Sox. Overall, they've won 10 straight. But 10. This is the eighth straight victory over the White Sox by the Minnesota Twins. And 14 of the last 15 games, the Minnesota Twins have beaten the White Sox. Bad.
Just horrible. And you know what? Not to be a hater here, okay? Not to pile on. But this is the second team that could have swept the White Sox season series before May 1st. They're 1-6 against Kansas City, 0-6 against Minnesota, 0-3 against Detroit, and 1-2 against Cleveland. I would do some quick math here. What, 1-5 against Cleveland and Detroit, 2-11 versus Kansas City, and then what, 2-18.
That is what
the White Sox are 2-18 versus the AL Central.
I mean, there was a tweet today that the month of April, four teams in the AL Central finished with the record over 500. And all four of those teams, as you just mentioned, played the White Sox, especially the Kansas City Royals and the Minnesota Twins. Kansas City Royals had their best April ever, I believe, because they played the White Sox seven times and won six of those games. Minnesota was struggling before they saw the White Sox. And now, since they've seen the White Sox, they've ran off 10 games in a row with only three games in between there with the LA Angels. And so they've had seven of their 10 wins versus these White Sox. So I'm sure they're crying while they're getting on their plane from Chicago. Like, man, only six more games for these sons of bitches. Man, we got fat off of these people. It was great.
Well, they got fat off the White Sox and fat off summer sausage. It's a good combo right there. Vinny asked me yesterday, right, when he first joined, like, how you feeling? And I'm not trying to be down here or anything, but this is just amazing how horrendous this baseball team is. They're now 6-25 on the year. Again, 2-18 versus the AL Central. You talked about them being 500, and Alec asked in the chat, is the AL Central actually good this year? I know the Sox are bad, but is the Central good? I don't think so. I think it's early, and I think, again, you know, most of these teams are above 500 against the White Sox. Kansas City 6-1 against the Sox. I'd like to know their record if you take away those 6-1 or those 7 games against the Sox. Like, I don't think that you could say the AL Central is good just yet. I think the Twins have gotten fairly lucky, and I mean, 7 of the games that they've faced the White Sox against, they've been pretty banged up. I mean, Byron Buxton leaves the game today, and that seemingly made them stronger. They replaced Byron Buxton with other White Sox killer, Willie Castro. How fun for White Sox fans, just getting berated by Willie Castro. It's so frustrating. It's so demoralizing. And again, I think that's why people are so sensitive right now when it comes to, you know, taking sides on stuff, whether it be John Schriffen, whether it be a certain player. It's because this is not what we were supposed to be talking about in 2024. I think there was some ESPN article, and I'm still trying to find it. They were trying to predict like the decade. And I think Jeff Passan like jokingly said the White Sox would win 4 World Series. I could be off on that, but like, that's what we were expecting going into 2020. And I mean, Kopech's the only one left. I know Moncada will be back at some point, but this is just truly heartbreaking.
And the White Sox have no one to blame but themselves. They put themselves in this trick bag, including Chris Getz, who I see people want and give him a honeymoon period. No, now he's backtracking, using the word rebuild when he speaks to the media on Friday. But no, you're talking about the elephant in the room being the AL Central is an easy division to win, while the AL Central is the only division with 4 teams with a 500 record or more. So, yeah, Chris Getz, you get some of this blame for the players you brought in. More importantly, the players you didn't bring in early enough, because this Tommy Pham thing through 5 games that he's played, I know he's played, they've played 6 since he's been here, has been solid as hell. And maybe they've been hitting a little bit better because he's in the lineup, but that player should have been in the clubhouse in February or March instead of signing him in April and then expecting the team to just change all the way. So it's weird. It's very weird that they did all these changes. And I guarantee they will get the same thing kind of from Mike Clevenger. He'll pitch well. The pitching staff will be all rejuvenated. And they'll like, oh, look at this. And John Trump like, oh, man, since Clevenger's been here, the starting rotation's been blah, blah, blah. And they'll still lose. This is on Chris Getz. This is on Jerry Reinsdorf. This is on Pedro Grifol. And it's on the whole White Sox organization. This is what they wanted. They got it. And yes, they're going to get haters because their team is 6-25. Not because we got some agenda against these guys. They're going to get hated because they're bad, and they're bad at baseball. Today was one of those games. Remember on Monday I said, I really can't be mad at a 3-2 loss. It was, you know, they just didn't execute, and sometimes that happens. Today I'm mad at the game because they had the game in hand, and they gave it up. We're talking about Paul DeJong with an easy routine ground ball. He could have gotten out instead. 2 base error. I know he's not trying to make errors, but it's a routine ground ball that any little leaguer would have swallowed up and throw the ball to first base. And he gives a 2 base error up there. Like, so many mistakes there. Bad team.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go through the game and talk about those. I do have a Tommy Pham or a comparison for Tommy Pham to throw out there and see if you vibe with it. And our agenda is we want good White Sox baseball. Like, I would love to stop making fun of Andrew Benintendi or stop trying to poke fun at him. Like, I'm just trying to like have this be any lighter than it can be, because right now it's just doldrums. Let's start off. The first inning for Flexen was pretty laborious. He went and just was kind of rocky, 19 pitches in that first inning, but didn't give up any runs until the top of the third. But the White Sox got in early on our guy Bailey Ober. Bailey Ober went 6 innings, 4 earned runs, 6 hits, 3 Ks, no walks. Flexen 5 innings, 2 earned runs, 4 hits, 4 Ks, and 2 walks. The Sox in the first inning, though, they were led off by Robbie Grossman, who doubled, and then Tommy Pham drove him in with a double of his own, and then Sheets grounded out and made Pham advance to third, and then Vaughn with a clutch single up the middle to make it 2-0 White Sox. And then the third inning, after you see Willie Castro triple to start the top of the third, Vasquez grounded out to drive in that run, made it 2-1. Tommy Pham was having none of that, Herb. Tommy Pham, first homer with the Chicago White Sox, making it 3-1 in the club. We are all Pham. You know what I'm saying?
I saw your tweet. It's awesome. Yeah, I mean, he's been crushing the ball.
I love Tommy Pham.
He's good. I don't know if this is the player we're getting, or just, hey, this guy is just starting off really hot and he'll cool down eventually to be the Tommy Pham of what he has been for his career. But for now, he's hitting everything hard. He's crushing the ball, double early, home run late. I mean, the guy is what everybody thought he would be. Out of the White Sox fans who said this move was good, they're getting paid off because Tommy Pham is everything that they wanted him to be. And hopefully for White Sox and White Sox fans, he keeps this up so he can be gone before the month of April start, or the month of August starts.
He's got the incentive that will pay him $500K if he is traded. So he does have incentive to play well and try to leave this White Sox team. But I think the comparison I came up with for Pham is you look at the Minnesota Twins lineup and you see Carlos Santana hanging out there at 6 and 7. He's consistently giving them solid at-bats. I know that he doesn't have the same power that he used to and consistent power that he used to, but he's extremely dangerous, right? If Tommy Pham was the sixth or seventh hitter for the White Sox playing right field every single day, I would be in love with Tommy Pham as a Chicago White Sox. But again, you know, Luis Robert Jr.'s hurt. You got Aloy kind of banged up and not playing today. You have Moncada banged up as well. So Tommy Pham is now the two hitter. And I think that's the biggest sign of, oh, these two teams are different. Even though the Twins are in fourth and the Sox are in fifth, you have Carlos Santana, 36-year-old, who's giving them great veteran presence and uplifting the stars that they've already had and they've built in their own organization. And Tommy Pham is trying to save the White Sox organization. I mean, we've heard a lot so far about the tone that Tommy Pham sets in 6 games. I think that is so hilarious. I think it's funny as all hell because this team, because we didn't get it. Chuck Garfine wanted to remind us that we didn't get it, that this was going to be different. They were going to clean up the clubhouse. They needed Tommy Pham day one. I think Tommy Pham would have been a great veteran presence and could have been your only veteran presence. Like, I what did we see from Paul DeJong? He's a bad baseball player, and he seems like a pretty timid, dorky NASA nerd. All power to him, but I don't know about leader in the clubhouse. You talk about Kevin Pillar. Kevin Pillar talked a lot about the things that, oh, he wanted to do. He was just about to do. He was going to tell Pedro about, right? That's not an actual leader. Maybe Maldonado has been that, but we know what Maldonado's giving with the bat. Tommy Pham has come in and said, I have stayed ready, waiting for this opportunity, and I want to prove all of you wrong. And I think the best thing for the White Sox is the fact that, yes, he is old. He's 36 years old, but we know that over the months, bat speed degrades. And I think you've seen a hard, consistent exit velocity from Pham over his career. And even if that bat speed's gonna turn down, that will be in August and September when he's someone else's problem. Correct. So I'm cool with it. I'm all in for Tommy Pham. 100% in on Tommy Pham. Have him be your right fielder once Robert comes back. If it's a Tommy Pham, Gavin Sheets platoon in right field, and you have Pham to hit lefties and Sheets to hit righties, baby, let's go. I'm all for it. I don't even care if Gavin Sheets is horrible in right field. I would love anyone to make contact on this team. So Gavin Sheets, you got a job.
Yeah, and I think that I'm 100% with you because he needs to get traded. I would love for these at-bats to be better served with the Dominic Fletchers of the world and maybe Oscar Colas of the world. But if Tommy Pham can get you a low-level prospect, I kind of get it. But also that prospect I don't think will be a top 100 prospect. And I know the White Sox don't develop prospects too well. So at prospect might be just, you know, useless at the end of the day. So I'll enjoy the Tommy Pham resurgence of his offense. And then when he's gone, he'll be somebody else's problem. Then we can actually get to playing and maybe seeing if Dominic Fletcher is anything. I don't think he is, but you don't know until you try. He's not going to be the guy down in AAA and killing AAA. So get him up here eventually. As soon as somebody gives you what you think Tommy Pham is worth, hit the trigger. I don't think it's right now because everybody knows that he's just hot right now, and eventually the regular Tommy Pham will show up. So you're not going to get anything that is of value from another team right now. But as soon as somebody picks your ear and says, we're going to give you this player, you're like, all right, that's it. Bye. Bye, Tommy. There's nothing else for you to do for the White Sox.
I mean, Pham's a career 114 OPS plus. It was 115 before this game. And then obviously the homer's going to going to raise that. But even in 2023, when he was with the Mets before he was traded to Arizona, he had a 125 OPS plus. I know 2022 and 2021 didn't look great, but I do think that this is a guy that could have a 120 OPS plus with the White Sox. I don't think that's far out of his reach. I don't think that's like a 100 percentile season for him. I think that he could be in 75 games or whatever, just like he was with the Mets, a 125 OPS plus hitter. I mean, he does seem solid. He doesn't seem like he's afraid of anybody. He seems like he has a great plate of present, a plate approach and presence at the plate. I'm all for Tommy Pham. I don't see a ton of issues, at least from Tommy Pham, from what, made of July. Like, let's go. Okay. I'm going to do an ad read, and then I'm going to hang up and let Herb do an ad read, and then we'll be back to talk more White Sox. Want to let you know about our friends over at Shady Rays. Get ready for the season ahead with quality shades built to last. Our friends at Shady Rays have you covered with premium polarized shades that won't break the bank. Shady Rays is an independent sunglasses company offering world-class products that are rated 5 stars by over 300,002 people. Well, 300,003 people, if you're including Herb, Vinny, and myself. We love our Shady Rays, and their shades have durable frames. All three of my pairs have lasted over the past 2 years. I have no issue with them. They're still crystal clear, and they are the perfect choice for all outdoor adventures. And they have hundreds of options to choose from. So if you're bound to find the perfect pair to match your style, and you could probably mix and match. Hey, you want a crazy pair and a nice sleek pair? Shady Rays has you covered, and they also have a style in your favorite team's color. I love my black shades, and I think, God, our team's color is black and not like, purple and teal like the Arizona Diamondbacks. But they are fantastic. I love my Shady Rays. They are the best sunglasses that I've owned because they're affordable and they are high quality. So exclusively for listening to CHGO, Shady Rays is giving out their best deal of the season. Head to ShadyRays.com and use code CHGO for 35% off polarized sunglasses. Try for yourself these shades rated 5 stars by over 300,000 people. Again, use code CHGO at ShadyRays.com for 35% off polarized sunglasses.
To me, Sean, nothing says summer like the beer I'm holding in my hand. It's a summer shandy. Whether you're hanging out with your people at a cookout, you're going to Guaranteed Rate Field at the Liney's Lodge, this is the best beer for summer. This tastes like summer to me. But I know you're also saying, Herb, I know that summer shandy is good for the summers. What can I be drinking at maybe February when it's cold? And Lina Kugel, do they have anything for me to drink at that time? I'm glad you asked that question because I went up to Wisconsin this weekend and got me some Lina's Original right here, Original Lager. They also have Light Lager, Lakeside Cherry, Juicy Peach, Berry Weiss, Dark Woods or Dark Lager, Northwoods Amber. And of course, they also have Honey Weiss, which is made with real Wisconsin honey. Not the bees that you saw last night in Arizona, real Wisconsin bees that make real Wisconsin honey, so you know it's good. And if you've tried any of their beers, you know that Lina Kugel brings the flavor for whatever occasion that you are celebrating. For over 150 years, Lina Kugel has combined German brewing traditions with Wisconsin innovation. You don't have to just pick one. Lina Kugel's popular variety packs come with 4 favorites to try and enjoy. Flavor life's simple moments with Lina Kugel's, the official craft beer of the Chicago White Sox. Go to liney.com/CHGO to find delivery options near you. That's LEINIE.com/Chicago. Or pick up Lina Kugel's pretty much anywhere that they sell beer. Lina Kugel's flavor of the moment. Celebrate responsibly. The Jacob Lina Kugel Brewing Company, Chippewa Falls. Yes.
Yes. Okay. So let's talk a little bit about where this game fell apart. And it's, well, actually, we just talked about Tommy Pham in the third inning. So let's talk about where the White Sox scored runs. They scored runs in the fifth inning. There was a hard liner by DeJong to Correa. It hit the ground right before Correa could catch it in his glove. So then he had to get up, pop up, make a difficult throw. DeJong was ended up being safe at first. Evan Grossman with another double, driving in DeJong, made it 4-2 Sox in the fifth inning. And then in the seventh inning, we had Cordy Lee, the budding star, hit a home run. 6-5 that made the Minnesota lead. And we'll talk to about how the White Sox went from having a 4-2 lead to being down 6-5 in the seventh inning. So Flexen started for the Sox, wasn't great. Again, 19 pitches in the first, 17 pitches in the second, 23 in the third, 14th in the ninth, or 19th 19 pitches in the fourth inning, and then 14 pitches in the fifth inning. 24% called strike whiff percent, 18 foul offs, and only 3 hard hit. And I think he just got fairly lucky, to be honest. He was throwing first pitch strikes, but was getting into a ton of full counts. He had 6 3-2 counts, and it just did not seem like Chris Flexen was fooling anybody. It just seemed like he had them a little off balance, but we saw when they hit him hard, they hit him hard. So I am not loving the Chris Flexen experience. I'm kind of okay on it. I know he put them in a spot to win, but I don't even know if he did, because he left the game with 92 pitches and threw 5 innings. And you need him going 6 today. They used 6 bullpen pitchers yesterday. This is a bullpen that is taxed. I didn't love the performance from Chris Flexen today, and I thought that the inevitable downfall of the White Sox was clear, because this bullpen has been pretty booty.
Yeah, and to speak to that, the White Sox starters, I think it went 4 1/3, 5 innings, 5 innings. They gave up, each of them, 2 earned runs in those outings that they had. The earned runs for the bullpen this series versus Minnesota Twins, 1 on Monday, which you understand because they're fresh at that time, only giving up the Brebbia earned run in the 9th inning. 4 yesterday, and then today you give up 6 earned runs, 2 of them not credited to the bullpen because of the error there by Paul DeJong. So you could see the progressive, like, taxation of the bullpen by the White Sox starters not going deep into the games, firstly, and then secondly, being used over and over again, and then walking the yard. Oh my goodness gracious. This White Sox, both starters and bullpen, have been really poor this series in particular. So I think that there should be some tweaking, and the next pitcher is a guy that probably won't pitch that long himself, because we got Brad Keller going on Friday versus the St. Louis Cardinals. He hasn't pitched a lot, and this will be his first start of the year, his second appearance in a major league game, so I'm sure the bullpen will be taxed on that game too. So it doesn't look like it's going to get better before it's going to start getting worse.
I had myself muted. Yes, okay. I agree. So let's talk in about, we're going to welcome Vinny in a second. 6th inning, Wilson comes in to relieve Flexen. He had 3 walks to Kepler, Larnick, and Santana. And then Leone relieves Wilson. Leone faced Castro, and then you talked about the bouncing grounder that DeJong misplayed. The Twins broadcast described him as looking uncomfortable reading the ball, bouncing off the grass, and then the ball went right through the wickets, made it 4-4 in the 6th. And then Leone in the 7th ended up walking Kirilloff and Correa, and really didn't face any damage there and was lucky to. But then in the 8th inning, Castro bloop falls in between Sheets and Shoemake. Castro was thrown out at third later in. Wait, I'm sorry. Hill, after Leone walked Kirilloff and Correa, Hill came in, and Kepler and Miranda drove in RBIs on singles, making it 6-4. My bad. That was confusing. My notes were all messed up there. So just a real tough day from the broadcast. Let's go to the guy that was actually there today. Vinny Duber, our CHGO White Sox beat writer. You can check out his latest piece at allchgo.com. He chatted with Paul DeJong yesterday and wrote about how the organization is currently viewing Colson Montgomery's first month down in AAA. That will be a bigger part of tomorrow's show. But if you do want to go read Paul Janisch's words, I guess Vinny's words about what Paul Janisch's words were, go check him out at allchgo.com. How's it going, Vinny?
I'm doing fine. How are you guys?
We're okay. I assume to be lagging a little bit. So if that is the issue, my bad to not only you guys, but also the people watching. All right, let's get into the game. What was Pedro's remarks about Chris Flexen's start? Because we see that Crochet had to come out early yesterday. The Sox ended up using 6 bullpen pitchers. And my remarks before you joined was Chris Flexen didn't give him enough. He was just not aggressive enough, kind of, you know, 15 plus pitches in each inning that he was in over 5. He just needed to be able to go 6, and then he didn't. I don't know if Pedro thought the same way, and if the bullpen's just in a bad spot right now.
Well, Chris Flexen thought that way. He was unhappy that he was, you know, not able to go much longer into this game. When it comes to the bullpen usage, though, I asked Pedro, hey, you've been talking an awful lot lately about how much this bullpen's being used, and certainly we're seeing it each and every night of this series. did that have an effect on what the results were today? You know, you've got guys who have been okay going out there and just walking everybody and giving up a bunch of hits too, you know, once you get to the ninth inning there. And Pedro said, it was a good question, but he didn't think so. He's the idea being that he and the coaching staff are not going to put anybody out there who's not physically able to do the job. Doesn't mean that they did the job, because they obviously didn't. But in terms of, are the White Sox throwing out tired pitchers? No, the answer is no there. But they threw out ineffective pitchers today and guys who didn't get the job done. You know, obviously Pedro was very frustrated with the walks. I believe the White Sox are currently the American League leaders in walks issued. They're only three short of the Miami Marlins, who are the major league leaders in walks issued. This has been a problem throughout the year, and it was a huge problem today. Steven Wilson, very displeased with, you know, the three walks that he issued and then needed to be taken out of the game. You know, very short in his postgame comments, asked what went wrong out there today, and he said three walks. That's what went wrong. So not lying, but certainly not verbose, and clearly you know, affected by a poor day at the office. So you know, things went wrong for the White Sox today in more than just one aspect, more than just one facet of the game. But certainly the way the bullpen pitched was probably top of the list. You can't be putting guys on base once you get to the ninth inning. They didn't walk anybody, but they gave up a whole ton of hits and a whole ton of runs there. You gotta be able to get some guys out. You know, that's the name of the game, and that's not any award-winning analysis by me right there, but it is certainly apt after what happened today with the White Sox.
Yeah, and Steven Wilson, that sixth inning, walking those three batters, that's going to happen from time to time, and that sucks. But you get Dominic Leone, who comes in and gets and induces that ground ball right to Paul DeJong. What does Paul DeJong say at the post game to about what happened there? Because I think that was the turning point of the game, really. You get out of there, you're still up 4-2. Yeah, you gave up three walks, but no one really is talking about it after the game if you get out of that inning.
Yeah, it's a brutal play. And, you know, the ball goes right through his legs, right under his glove. He owned up to it. You know what I mean? He was ready for the cameras and the questions, and he knew that it was a play that he should have made, you know, 100 times out of 100 in his mind, more than likely. He went into detail as to why he screwed up. You know, he thought it was a ball that had a ton of spin on it, and it wasn't an easy ball to field, period. But then he kind of got blocked by the runner who was at second base. None of this being an excuse. He knows he should have made the play. But he described what was kind of a funky play, I guess. It looked really bad going right under his glove the way it did. So, listen, the White Sox have made too many plays like that this season. I think this is a team, you know, that values defense. It obviously does. They brought in all these guys who value defense. They talked all offseason long and all spring long about how good the defense was going to be, how good the fundamentals were going to be. And we haven't seen that on nearly a consistent enough basis. You know, I think Chris Getz, I asked him fairly recently, I don't know if it was the last time he talked or the time before, but, you know, what he thought of the defense. And he said he was pretty happy with it. You know, I think maybe overall, sure, right? I mean, you know, even when you make one horrible play in a game, it stands out as being a big defensive screw-up. But think of all the other plays in the game. I get kind of where that idea is coming from. But the number of mistakes like this was supposed to be much, much less than it has been in recent years. And I think all three of us could probably rattle off a pretty long list of those types of plays that we've seen through the first, what is now month plus of this season, a season in which they only have six wins through what, 32 games, 31, 32 games. So yeah, it's another one to add to the list, and it's probably going to be one that sticks in the mind if this is a storyline that continues for this White Sox team.
I don't even know if the errors are my biggest issue with this team. It's just, you know, we see the consistent issues with the bullpen, we see the lack of innings from the starting pitchers that they've been getting, and then sometimes they're just getting shut out. I mean, it's just, it's one thing or another, and then we've seen that in the three run the three one-run games, or their one-run game record, where they're, what, 3-8 now? It's just whenever they're in a close game, they'll have some mistake. And it's not always fielding, but it's fielding, bullpen, or they'll just go quiet at the plate. And that's what's most frustrating. You look at the Pythagorean win theorem, where they take the runs and run differential and try to say, oh, well, this is your record if, you know, you had good luck or bad luck. The White Sox are 7-22. Like, there's no difference. Like, they are who they are. Like, they're just a pretty bad baseball team right now.
Yeah, and I mean, both DeJong and Pedro were talking about that after the game, that one-run game, those close games. I think that that's something that has kind of stuck in their craw too, right? I mean, they are seeing games, you know, listen, it's one thing if you can't hit and you can't pitch and you get blown out every night, right? But that's not what has happened. They've played, as you mentioned, so many close games, and I think that's what's very disappointing to this team is they say, we could have won that, you know, like they're not seeing themselves as just, you know, wildly overmatched, even though, you know, if you spread it out over the course of the whole season, that might be a fair assessment, but they are seeing games in which they weren't wildly overmatched, games in which they just make a few pitches or make a play or get a few hits and they win by one instead of losing by one. And so I think that is something that is really aggravating this team right now. You know, Pedro talked about it pretty curtly or pretty upsettingly, whatever I'm looking for in a word there. He wasn't happy about it after the game. And Paul DeJong brought it up too. And Paul said kind of the same thing you did just now, Sean, which was they can't get those things to align. They can't get pitching and hitting and defense to align all at once and win a game. You know, I mean, this is a team that only has 6 wins right now. They think they should have a few more, you know, not a lot more maybe, right? I mean, I don't think you're getting delusion from this team. I don't think you're getting them saying, oh, we should be, you know, 30-2 kind of thing. Like, they just think that they should have won some of the games they lost. And I think today is a top-notch example of that, even though it ended up being a 5-run game instead of a 1-run game. I mean, they had a 2-run lead on 3 separate occasions. They handed the ball over to the bullpen with a lead. They got, you know, a couple of home runs. This wasn't the kind of, you know, paltry offensive showing that we got so used to during the first few weeks of the season. This is a game that they definitely think they should have had, even though the score ended up being what it was.
Speaking of home runs, we got one again from Corey Lee, and I'm very impressed with the young man and what he's doing this year. Like, his rookie year, I mean, I know he played 2 other years, but I think his rookie status is still intact. And he's out here hitting home runs. And if you had told me, hey, there's going to be a Cal player on the White Sox hitting 3 home runs and hitting in the mid-2s and doing some good stuff in the field, I was like, oh, yeah, Andrew Vaughn's going to be doing very well. And no, it's Corey Lee throwing out Byron Buxton, who unfortunately got hurt there. And then also, I think, Willie Castro late in the game. His all-around game has been really impressive. Did Pedro or anybody speak about just the maturation, how this kid went from a guy that we wouldn't want to field last year to a guy that you definitely want starting and starting more games than Martin Maldonado from here on out?
He went to work. He went to work in the offseason, and it's very much paid off. I mean, we've got the clip of Sean laughing his ass off because I mentioned that Corey Lee only had 5 hits in the last month of last season. Corey Lee, I don't know if he saw it, but he something inspired him to go to work and really change things up at the plate, and it's really paying off. I mean, the guy looks good, right? I mean, if this was a contending team, you'd be happy with that from the catcher position, right, with what he's doing offensively. I think certainly because he's a catcher, it's more important what he's doing defensively and more important what he's doing in terms of working with the pitchers. And I will bring up again to the groans of many that Martin Maldonado is probably having a positive effect on Corey Lee. When we've asked that question of Pedro, Pedro also has chimed in and said that catching coach Drew Butera is having a positive effect. And how timely, because Drew Butera gets thrown out of the game in the first inning today. He was very unhappy with what seems to be just a ball. But
can we talk about that? Because I had a note. The pitch that he was arguing was a ball. It was pretty clearly a ball, and it was a fine call by the umpire. But then the mic was pretty hot because there wasn't that many people in there. You could pick up hecklers chanting at Correa. At one point, Correa walks to the plate in the top of the 3 to some boos and some cheater remarks, and the Twin broadcast said, oh, there's some Astros fans here. What are you talking about? But then Drew Butera tossed 16 pitches into the game. James Hoy said, I don't even know who you are. I don't know even know who you are popping off to Drew Brutera. So that's fantastic that Drew Brutera got shut down by home plate umpire James Hoyt.
Drew Brutera was like a long time major league catcher. Like umpires should know who he is.
Yeah, but but usually he has Butera on the back. Like, I don't think if, you know, you're walking downtown, you see Drew Brutera. I don't think that's like, oh, former backup catcher Drew Brutera.
I say that all the time.
Anyways, do you stopping people on the streets? I think Corey has been fun to watch. He's been up and down, but I think if he's providing this level of defense, a 700 OPS. OPS right now, and I think what his third home run. I'll take three homers from a backup catcher. I mean, he wasn't even supposed to be on the opening day roster, and then Max Stassi deals with the injury, and he takes opportunity with the opportunity or with the opportunity. He took advantage of the opportunity he was given. Thank you.
And also, it wasn't like he's getting his home run off of some bum. Brock Stewart is filthy, filthy, filthy. And he hit a ball that was coming at him. I think it was either a cutter or a slider that was inside part of the plate. And he drove that to right center, or mostly center field, and with the home run. So it's not just like he's getting home runs off of hanging sliders that are bad. Brock Stewart is one of the most filthy pitchers with stuff in the game, and had a zero ERA coming into this game. So whatever Corey Lee did in the offseason needs to pass it along to his teammates, him and Gavin Cheeksy, to, hey, guys, come train with us because we're ready for it. We know how to come from the doldrums of what we were last year to being actual good major league solid hitters this year.
But I don't think that it's like just to do the Gavin Sheets workout and you'll be flipping your career around. Let's take a break and we'll talk about that, because I truly think the biggest thing about Gavin isn't the baseball skill. He's a second rounder. It's the mindset and the mindset only. Let's let you know about Circa Sportsbook, our pals. Circa has wonderful customer service, and I had to deal with a different sportsbook's customer service yesterday, and it was pretty brutal. I had to call a 1-800 number and then press 1 to confirm it was my number. Then I had to wait for somebody to call me back, and then when that person called me back, they didn't have a license in Illinois to help me out. So then I had to go try to find a live chat, and that took 15 minutes, and then I was 14th in line, and then had to wait in line just to get my account unlocked. That's not going to happen with Circa Sportsbook. There are real people behind the Circa Sports brand who resolve issues in a timely fashion, unlike other books who use chatbots, and all aspects of the app are being run by the same team that runs the beautiful Circa Sportsbook at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. So go check out Circa Sportsbook. They are the world's largest sportsbook and offering you, the gambler, the best lines to partake with, and they encourage bettors to download and explore all other sporting betting apps available to make sure that you are getting the best line possible. Compare the lines from each sports books, and most of, if not all the time, you will see that Circa has the best lines for you to wager on. So download the Circa Sports Illinois app at circasports.com/Illinois-app. That's circasports.com/Illinois-app to sign up today. Also be on lookout for Circa events, watch parties, and tailgates. If you or somebody you know may have a problem with gambling, call 1-800-GAMBLER, 1-800-426-2537. Text GMB to 833-234. Visit areyoureallywinning.com.
At Game Time, they believe that you shouldn't have to worry when you're buying tickets to your next big event. Game Time is the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all the sports, music, comedy, and theater events nearest you. And with killer last-minute deals, all-in prices, views from your seat, and their best price guarantee, Game Time takes the guesswork out of buying tickets. I exclusively buy my baseball tickets at Game Time because of their Game Time guarantees, because I know I'm going to get the lowest prices automatically. And if I don't, I get 110% in my account guaranteed once I show that information from a secondary market. Game Time is the only ticketing app that gives you complete peace of mind with your purchase. See the view from your seat before you buy, so you know exactly what to expect when you arrive. With all in prices, show your total up front, so you know you're getting a great deal without the hidden fees. And they're obsessed at Game Time with finding you ways to help save money when you're buying tickets. Game Time has deals on tickets right up to the start of the event and even an hour after that event starts. It's the place to go for last-minute seats. And with zone deals like I got up in Milwaukee, you can pick the section. Game Time picks the seats for average savings of 18%. And like I was telling you before, the Game Time guarantee means that you'll also always get the best price. Went to Atlanta, bought tickets on Game Time, went to secondary markets to see if there was a better price. There was one. I sent this information to Game Time. I got 110% of the difference in my account within 12 minutes. You could take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, use the code CHGO for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem the code CHGO for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest prices guaranteed.
Muted myself again. Cool. Thank you, Herb. So I don't know if I'm wrong here. Correct me if I'm wrong. And Vinny, I don't know if Gavin's talked about, and we know that he talked with Jim Thome and improved that mental state at the plate. But you see it with Tommy Pham. You see it with Gavin Sheets. And I think you're seeing it right now with Corey Lee. Last year, he wasn't comfortable at the plate. He seemed like he was consistently trying to react to what pitchers do. And it seems like, or not react, but try to like game plan in his head. Now it seems like he's just going up there and reacting. I think the best sign of that was the homer in Minnesota, where that slider was hanging and he just sat back on it and hit it for a homer. I think what we're seeing in Corey, Gavin, and specifically Tommy Pham is the presence at the plate. Benintendi seems like he's maybe come through with that a little bit. I know Pedro said that he's just going up there and he's trying to rip balls. Like, those three guys, Sheets, Pham, and Lee, are the guys that are consistently on the White Sox going up there and hitting the ball with authority and seem to have the right mindset. And I don't think working with Paul Konerko or Jim Thome is really gonna, you know, unlock that. I think it's coming from that own person. Like, I think Andrew Vaughn has the ability to be a better hitter than he is right now. We've seen him have, you know, seasons of 25 homers and 25 doubles. So I don't know what is blocking some of these guys, and maybe it's pressure, but maybe it's just, I don't know. I it's been brutal at the plate. It seems like a mindset thing.
It very well could be. It probably is, you know, but I think what you've got to remember is that this is all up to each of those individual hitters, right? I mean, there are guys who have success doing it different ways. And, you know, Gavin talked to me about the idea that, you know, he didn't have much confidence last year and he's got to go. And now that he has kind of found that again, or found a way to have it again, right, that it's working for him. He said the best advice he had from Jim Thome wasn't anything that was like, oh, you got to swing it like this. You got to swing it like this. This is a Hall of Fame guy with 600 home runs. Oh, you got to, you know, do this or do that. He said, you got to make the pitcher think that you're more that you think you're the best hitter in the world. Right. And I mean, that is yeah, something that is something that could apply to anybody almost in any walk of life. Right. And so, but here's the thing. It worked for Gavin. That doesn't mean that it's going to work for Andrew Vaughn. It doesn't mean that it's going to work for Paul DeJong. It doesn't mean that it's going to work for Andrew Benintendi. But those guys can find their own little way to make it work for them, and they haven't to this point, right? And I think Corey Lee is someone who probably benefited from only having five hits in September last year, because he finally got an extended look at major league pitching, right? I mean, you got to learn how to do this job. Usually we see rookies get an entire year to learn how to do this job, and he figured out something in just 1 month of it that has worked for him probably, and then turned that into off-season work and so on and so forth. Tommy Pham has been doing this for years, right? And he's had his ups and downs. It's not something that goes just consistently. Once you figure it out, you're an all-star and you never stop being an all-star. So here he is, probably doing a little bit of that thing that Michael Soroka talked about in the spring, right? Fighting for his career. This is a guy who chose between a minor league deal between the Sox and the Padres, and he chose the Sox because they got lower taxes here than they do in California. I mean, this is someone who probably believes that he is accomplished enough that he doesn't have to be making that decision, right? That he needs to be making a decision between two much larger numbers. And so while Michael Soroka said there's a bunch of guys fighting for their careers, him being one of them, hasn't really worked for Michael Soroka yet, but Tommy Pham came in here and said, I'm gonna fight for my career, and that's gonna be the drive, perhaps, and I'm gonna show everybody what's what. And here he is, the best hitter on the team, he has not even been here a week. So I think the idea is that everything is different in every one of these guys' brains. And I think that you're probably right in saying that it's mental and saying that it's a mindset thing, but the way that it worked for Gavin Sheets isn't going to be the way that it works for Andrew Vaughn necessarily. And the way that it works for Tommy Pham isn't going to be the way that it works for Andrew Benintendi or Nicky Lopez, right? So I think turning the mindset into results is something that each one of these guys has to go through. Two or three of them have, and the rest of this team has not. And it's obviously prevented them from having much success or scoring many runs. That's the game. That's the sport that we've chosen to watch here. And, you know, once you understand that, you probably can watch a guy and say, all right, when's it going to click for him? Is it going to click for him? And then you can actually applaud the guys that it does click for, because you know how tricky it is to line everything up.
And what you're saying right there, Vinny, too, about Corey Lee having that cup of coffee in the majors last year with the White Sox and then going to work in the offseason to improve his play this year, I think the White Sox should employ that with most of their people. And this is going to be a lost year. And of course that Tommy Pham and all their players won't be on this team, hopefully for their sake, Tommy Pham and the White Sox sake, at the end of the year. You can have some of these players like, and I know he's struggling right now, but Colston Montgomery's young. Maybe you can have him here in September, no matter the results of what he does in AAA. So he can do the same thing, maybe. But like you said, it individually, it works differently for different players. Come up here as your Colston Montgomery and you struggle and you fail, that might be good for somebody. Failure is not a bad thing. Failure teaches you how to get better and to understand what you need to improve on. So I would love for the White Sox to employ that type of training for the young players they have now in Double and Triple A, to have an offseason they can work on some things. Or if they come up here and have a great September, just say, okay, the game is not as easy as I made it seem in that month of September. So what do I need to adjust and what do I need to tweak a little bit to steep at this level that I'm currently at? Because they'll do an adjustment to me, so I need to readjust to what their adjustment is. So I think it's very valuable to get major league experience, because I think you were saying it. You don't get better at a job by not doing the job. Only get better at being a major leaguer by being a major leaguer. So it's good to see that Corey Lee has progress from where he was to where he is now. And if he's this or just slightly below this, a perfect backup to starter level catcher.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm all for Corey Lee getting run time. I mean, he was a first round pick not too long ago, and you know, he struggled in his first, I think, 100 plate appearances, but it seems like he's at least growing confidence and gaining confidence. So Corey Lee, the budding star. All right, let's.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Ask Vinny about stuff that didn't happen in today's game, mainly Mike Clevinger. I know Pedro Grifol speaked on his status. When should Sox fans expect Mike Clevinger, or is it still kind of wait and see?
Well, it hasn't been specified what day it will be, but it would seem to me that next week's series in Florida against the Rays is probably as good a time as any to expect him. We do know that this weekend's pitchers in St. Louis, it's going to be Brad Keller on Friday. It'll be Eric Fetty on Saturday, and it will be Garrett Crochet on Sunday. That's against the Cardinals. No announced starters for that Rays series yet, but that's what it's looking like. Pedro Grifol said that he will be here very soon, he being Mike Clevinger. They were going to wait to see what that start looked like last night, wait to see how he felt, to see if he needed another minor league start. It doesn't sound like that's going to happen. It sounds like his next outing as a pitcher will be at the major league level. And so because of that, I can't imagine they'd want to sit him down for 10 days and wait till the team comes back home. So I think next week in Tampa, or in St. Pete rather, is probably going to be the best bet on when he is going to make his White Sox start.
Did Pedro speak about losing to the Twins specifically and the AL Central team specifically? Because this has been 14 of their last 15 games they played this team in particular, and they've lost. And these seven games, for the most part, Byron Buxton was in some of them, but no Royce Lewis for all seven of them. Mostly you only saw Duran last night, so they're hurt too, and it doesn't really matter. Whoever puts on that Twins uniform is always going to have a good series versus the White Sox. Pedro speak about beating them in particular, because the one time that they beat them in a season series in the last 6 years, they actually won the division. The White Sox won the division. I think that is probably the key, especially going through Minnesota, to win the division.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it takes a lot of great analysis to say that White Sox teams have not been great over that span, and Twins teams have been generally pretty good over that span. If you want to talk about the macro, in the micro of just this day and this series, Pedro said, hey, that's a team over there that can hit the ball out of the park. Don't walk them. You know what I mean? Kind of, he said you're going to get your ass kicked if you walk this team specifically. And the White Sox have done a lot of that in the seven games that they've played against these Twins. So he was asked, I don't remember if it was yesterday or the day before, about the AL Central. You know, obviously, and I've already seen it going around Twitter, Chris Getz talked numerous times before the season started, including dating back to the day he was introduced, about the caliber of the division, you know, saying that, hey, that old chestnut of, hey, the White Sox might not be great, but they play in the AL Central. Maybe that's an opportunity to do better than expected or better than they might do otherwise. And now you bring up that AL Central record this year, and it is just miserable. And they've seen a lot of the AL Central in a month where they were miserable, right? I mean, I think their record probably would have been pretty similar to what it was, regardless of who they played, because of all the things that we talked about earlier in this show. But they just so happened to play a lot of division rivals, and it didn't go their way. And now they have a terrible record against the division. Pedro said that he wasn't really in that camp of thinking that the division was going to be easy, I guess, you know, that the teams in the division weren't of high caliber. And he pointed out things that are true, right? Cleveland is better than they were expected to be. Kansas City, better than they were expected to be. And now you've got this Twins team that has won 10 games in a row. So it is a division that, to this point, a small sample size, 1 month out of a 6 month season, but has been better than expected. And the White Sox have been even worse than expected, right? I mean, at the end of the day, we thought they would be a poor team, one of the poorer teams in baseball, maybe even. But this is particularly bad. This is particularly not what we expected for them to only have 6 wins at this point. A worse start than they had to last year, which was seemingly the end of the world at the end of April last year, right? And so I think that Pedro probably doesn't care who the opponent is. He would like them to start winning and start playing better in general. But yeah, they've played a lot of games against the AL Central. They've been playing pretty bad. The rest of the AL Central has been playing all right, and all those things can align to deliver that record that you mentioned there, Herb.
70% of the Twins' win streak has been beating up on the White Sox, the 2-18 against the AL Central. Again, you're right that it doesn't take a great analysis to say that's pretty bad. All right, let's get into the last thing that I have for today, and it's not even Sox related. So I guess before we go into that, do you have anything else from the ballpark that, you know, stuck out today, or did we hit most of it then?
Yeah, most of it was covered. I think we'll, you know, obviously talk a lot about it on the off day show tomorrow, but a lot of some of the smaller updates from the minor league side with Paul Janisch talking yesterday, that's kind of the buried down in the stuff from this week. But yeah, it was another eventful series, but eventful does not always mean wins, does it?
No, it does not. Yeah, we'll have some Paul Janisch video for you guys tomorrow. Elijah Evans of Future Sox will be joining us to talk prospects as well. I do have some minor league stuff from today to talk about. And I think tomorrow a lot of people have brought up Jose Abreu. So maybe we'll talk about that on the off day. Jose Abreu's demotion to AAA. But the minor leagues,
not
was
even
okay.
AAA
lost 7-3 today against... What?
Jose Abreu is going to their complex league in Florida. Yeah, he's going all the way down just to work on some stuff. So, yeah, he won't be playing for their AAA affiliate. He'll be working on his game down there in what used to be called rookie ball.
Yikes. Okay. Well, that's tough. All right. Well, White Sox affiliates today, AAA went lost 7-3 against the Memphis Redbirds. Colson, who Vinny wrote the article about up at allchgo.com, went 1-for-3 with a hard hit and a walk. Carlos Perez hit his second homer of the year. He went 2-for-4 and raised his OPS to 800. He had an OPS of 703 last year in AAA. He had a big Venezuelan Winter League play this past offseason, going deep seven times and adding six doubles and a triple as well in 49 games. And he's been mainly playing first base in AAA with Oscar Colas. I know a lot of people are like, why are the White Sox signing Jared Walsh? It's because they need a first baseman. I don't think Oscar Colas feels too comfortable playing first base, and Carlos Perez is a catcher. So I think that's the biggest thing. And then Dominic Fletcher is leading off for the Knights and has been. He went 1-for-3 today with two walks. The Birmingham Barons won 11-6 against the Rocket City Trash Pandas. Jairo Iriarte went 7 innings pitched, 8 hits allowed, 1 walk, 3 earned runs, 7 Ks. He lowered his ERA to 1.46, and he had the third most whiffs in AA today with 18. Brooks Baldwin has been an interesting guy that we haven't talked much about. Baldwin went 3-for-4 today with a walk and raised his OPS to 10.58. He's mostly played shortstop this year down in AA, and he was a 12th round pick by the Sox in 2022. In 93 games in 2023, Baldwin had 15 doubles, 3 triples, and 15 homers. He drew 42 walks and had a difference of 0.080 between his average and on-base percentage. So he's drawing walks, and he's able to get on base not only by hitting, but also, again, drawing walks. Brian Ramos has struggled early, but he had a great game today. He went 2-for-5 with a double and a homer and 4 RBIs in that 11-6 win. And then Eric Adler made his first AA appearance after being called up from Winston. He had a 0 ERA in those 8 games in Winston, 14 Ks over 9 innings. There were 4 walks, and he allowed a walk, 3 hits, and 3 runs today, 2 of them earned in his first AA appearance. And then Winston-Salem, they lost 14-4 today against the Greensboro Grasshoppers. Only 6 hits today for Winston-Salem. There was not much to write about. Samuel Zavala through April has made some highlight plays, but overall his numbers are down. He's struggling to make contact. The slugging is under 400, but 8 of his 19 hits are extra base hits, so the athleticism seems to be shining. It just doesn't seem to be fully polished just yet. And then finally, A-ball is currently still playing. They got rained out. They're in the top of the 8th. They're currently leading 5-3. The biggest thing to write home on that is Herb's guy Riku Nishita with another 2 walks. So
let's go.
Your guy Herb, maybe Stephen Kwan too is going to be up here at some point. Let's go. All right. Any final thing before we wrap this up? We have Dallas Keuchel viewers, so make sure you're hitting that like button.
Nothing for me. I just think I'm very disappointed. The Twins sent out the thing. They said 10 in a row, but as you pointed out, Sean, 7 of those victories are versus the White Sox. So I look at it as a 3 in a row thing because they were cold as hell before the White Sox started playing them, and now they're hotter than shit.
That's a good way to put it. That's Herb Lawrence. You can follow him at @Ekronwall23. He's our CHGO White Sox community leader. The man in the middle today is Vinny Duber, our CHGO White Sox beat writer, joining us live from Guaranteed Rate Field. He will be with us tomorrow on our off day show at 1 p.m., where we'll be talking about the White Sox minor league affiliates and previewing the upcoming series against the St. Louis Cardinals. Thank you to Sarah for producing the show. You can follow us at CHGO_White Sox, and you can follow me at Sean_W_Anderson. Make sure you hit the thumbs up button on your way out. Goodbye. We all silly like the mayor.